Hi, and welcome to Lesson 8 of Christian Basics, a lesson on prayer. The writer of the material is Dr. Ed Rules, and I'm David Fettes, presenting this material from Dr. Rules and then adding my own thoughts and comments along with it. Introduction. One of the great privileges we have as Christians is praying to our Father in heaven. Though He is infinitely greater than we are, we can speak to Him at any time about anything. We do not have to make a special reservation to talk to Him. We do not have to meet Him at a special place. And we do not have to use special words or a special tone of voice when talking to Him. All we need is a humble and sincere desire to bring before God the deepest feelings and desires of our hearts. God truly wants us to do that, and He promises to listen when we do. Jesus Himself said, when you pray, do not be like the pagans who go on babbling and think they'll be heard because of their many words. God isn't a speech teacher, or He's not a speech judge. He is your Father in heaven. And so you go to Him the way a child does to your father, knowing that He already knows what you need, and then you go to Him instead of trying to impress the judge of a speech contest. Question one, why should we pray? The Bible frequently encourages us and even commands us to pray. Prayer is the gateway to a close and precious relationship to our Father in heaven. So one answer, why should we pray, might be command, but the real one-word answer to why we should pray is relationship. Scripture references. Proverbs 15, verse 8, the prayer of the upright is acceptable to Him. Colossians 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. There are a whole host of invitations and commands and encouragements to pray throughout the whole Bible. Question two, how should we pray? We should pray in the name of Jesus. Praying in the name of Jesus does not mean that we simply say the name of Jesus when we pray or end our prayers by saying, in Jesus' name, amen. We can end our prayers that way, but it doesn't just mean rattling off Jesus' name. Rather, praying in the name of Jesus means that we pray humbly, confidently, and expectantly because of what Jesus has done for us and in order for our lives to show the life of Jesus in us. So to pray in the name of Jesus is to pray on the authority of Jesus, based on the accomplishments of Jesus, in tune with the desires of Jesus. You can't say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, help me to be a successful mass murderer. You know, you just can't pray in the name of Jesus for things that are totally out of tune with Jesus. You're praying in Christ. Scripture references. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now again, that doesn't mean you think of your request, Lord, give me the latest luxury car that I really, really want, and I want it in Jesus' name, amen. That's not what Jesus means by whatever you ask in my name. Again, it's on His authority, the things He's authorized you to ask for, the things that are in line with His will. And those are the things where you're asking in His name, and those are the things He's surely going to do. John 16, verse 23 and 24, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Ephesians 5, verse 20 says, give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Question 3, what should we pray about? We should pray about anything and everything. Though God is infinite and rules over the entire world, He's concerned about even the smallest things in our lives. Even when others might not want to be bothered by our concerns, God is never bothered when we come to Him humbly, thoughtfully, and sincerely, no matter what may be on our hearts or minds. Though we may pray about anything, we pray especially that we may know God better, advance His reign in our world, be filled with His Spirit, and overcome the power of sin and Satan, So there's nothing in your life that's too small or unimportant that you can't talk to your Father in heaven about it. Just come to Him with everything. Come to Him with all your feelings, just as you are. Don't pretend with Him. Don't try to get overly polite with Him and conceal things from Him. Just pour out what's in your mind and heart. We can pray about anything, but also we want to learn as we move forward in prayer that we want to pray about the things that are dear to God's heart, not just the things that happen to be on our heart. And that's one of the purposes of prayer, to bring our heart more and more in tune with God's heart. And at the same time, to realize that what's on our hearts does matter to Him and that He likes to hear our prayers and have us communicate with Him. Scripture references. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What an invitation. Just let it fly. Let your requests in everything be made known to God, but also do it in a spirit of thanksgiving for what He's already done. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So we're praying all the time. Again, this is in the context of spiritual warfare. So we're in a world where it's constantly a battle to live for the Lord, to please Jesus. And so always be ready to call headquarters. Always be ready to be asking the Lord for what you find you need in this particular circumstance, and pray for others too. Question 4, when should we pray? We may pray at any time. It's often helpful to set aside a special time for prayer each day, but we should not restrict our praying. We should not limit our praying to one particular time. God is willing to hear our prayers at any time of day or night. We may pray while walking, driving, resting, working, playing, or at any other time. I can be praying right now while I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, and at the same time, my mind is saying, Lord, help the people listening to this to discover the beauty of prayer and the wonder of prayer. And I'm not going to tell you everything I pray about while I'm doing these videos, but even while I'm talking or preaching or whatever I'm doing, I'm often talking to the Lord with my mind, even while I'm talking to you with my mouth. We can pray publicly, or we can pray silently when others around us are not even aware that we're praying. There's no time or situation when praying is inappropriate. So, it's good to have set times for prayer, and those can really be a valuable launching pad to just praying all the time. Think about it in terms of sports contests. I used to play quite a bit of basketball, and we would have timeouts where the coach and the players would get off the floor and huddle up and talk about what's going on in the game and get some encouragement from the coach as well as some advice and what to do next. And so those special times where we just stopped the game and went to the coach were very important. But that didn't mean that there was no communication going on while the game was happening. The coach would be shouting instructions from the sidelines. We'd be listening for those instructions. We'd be telling fellow players what's going on, or watch out for that guy, or he's open, and throw the ball to him. So there's a lot of communication going on during the game, but it was also very important to take those timeouts, to catch our breath, to get our energy back, to spend a little time without being in the middle of the ball game, just to talk about what's going on and to get encouraged. And so it is in our prayer life. There are times just set apart to spend some time with the coach and where you're not running around doing a whole bunch of other stuff. But when you are running around and doing all that other stuff, you still need to be listening to the coach and communicating with him and talking to him and letting him know what your needs are. Scripture references, Luke 6, verse 12, all night Jesus continued in prayer to God. So Jesus didn't say, oh, there's just a time now and then. He did spend special time apart with God, sometimes even all night. And other times he was praying constantly. Mark 1:35, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he, Jesus, departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And very often Jesus spent these special extended times in prayer just before he was going to make a very important decision, such as calling his 12 disciples or launching new initiatives. Jesus, even though he was the Son of God, was also human. And therefore, Jesus was a man of prayer, even as he was also the Son of God. Acts 1 verse 14 says, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. Colossians 1, verse 9, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Again, you can be praying all the time. And not only that, what are you praying for? You're praying that other people will know God well, that they'll grow in spiritual wisdom, that they'll grow in understanding. And just a side note here, as you read these prayers in the Bible, such as this one in Colossians, where the apostle is praying for others, it gives you an excellent clue about some things to pray for yourself as well. You can pray to the Lord, help me to pay these bills. Help me to deal with some of the problems or illnesses in my life. Bless others who have those needs too. But notice what Paul's praying for here, mainly to know God's will, to have spiritual wisdom and understanding. In Ephesians, he prays that God will give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Those are tremendous prayers. Ephesians 3, Paul prays that they may know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So again, when you read the prayers of the Bible, realize that these are things God wants us to be praying for ourselves and for others, and to be doing that on an ongoing basis while we're in the middle of the busyness of day-to-day life, as well as in those special times alone with the Lord. Question 5, where should we go to pray? Where should we pray? Well, we can pray anywhere and be assured that God hears our prayers wherever we are. However, it's often desirable to have a quiet place where we can pray to God without distractions. Jesus Himself went off by Himself to quiet places where He could be alone with His Father in heaven. Just as you want a set time as well as praying all the other times, so sometimes it's good to have a set place for prayer as well as the ongoing prayers, whatever places you happen to go. Daniel had his special place for prayer as well as special times. Daniel 6 verse 10 says, he went up to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He was living in a foreign land, but he never forgot the city of God. Daniel got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Acts 21 verse 5, kneeling down on the beach, we prayed. You can pray in the upper chamber of a government official, as Daniel happened to be. You can be praying on the beach when you're meeting with fellow believers just before you hop back on a ship. Acts 10 verse 9, the next day as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the 6th hour to pray. So Peter went up on that housetop to kind of get away from other people and have some special time alone with the Lord. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Matthew 6, verse 6. Now, Jesus said this partially, not so that you don't get addicted to the habit of public prayer. Those of us who are in ministry have to beware of praying only to be heard by others. It is good, as we're going to see in a few moments, to pray with others and sometimes on behalf of others. But if that's your main area for prayer and if you're doing it just so that other people will hear how you pray, then you've got to do something very different. Jesus says, if you don't have this private time of prayer where you go to your room by yourself and pray just because you want to be with your Father, then you're missing out on the secret of prayer. You've already got your reward. If you're just going to pray in public for people saying, oh, that guy's pretty good at praying. Well, actually, you're not very good at praying if that's your only prayer life. So praying alone is the key to all the other forms of prayer. Luke 5, 16, Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and pray. And again, Luke 6, verse 12, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray. And all night he continued in prayer to God. So the times, there are sometimes special times, there are sometimes, and then you just pray all the time. There are special places, and then any place, whether it's a mountain, a housetop, a beach, what have you, pray. Question 6, is there a special posture, a way of positioning our body that we should have when we pray? No. Now, that answer might surprise you because many of us learn to fold our hands and close our eyes in some areas. Others learn to bow. Others learn to do this or that. But there is no special posture that is the posture, the body position that all people have to pray in. We should always be thoughtful, humble, reverent, and sincere when we pray. That's a position of the Spirit. But there is no special bodily posture required in order for us to pray in a way that pleases God. We may bow, kneel, sit, stand, raise our hands, or lie prostrate on the ground when praying. Many people, however, feel that kneeling in prayer is a special sign of sincerity and reverence, and therefore usually kneel when they pray in private and often in public as well. So there are postures that are valuable if it helps you. If that physical posture helps you in your spirit to show honor to Jesus and reverence to the Father, then adopt that posture. If raising your hands gives you a special release in your spirit to pray and to praise God, well, then raise your hands. There's a variety of postures, but don't legislate how others have to position their bodies when they pray. And don't spend too much time worrying about the ways others might legislate how you have to position your body when you pray. The Bible has a great variety. Here are some of the references. 1 Timothy 2, verse 8. I desire then that in every place the men should pray. Ezra 9, 5 and 6. I fell on my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord my God. Luke 18, the tax collector, very sinful man, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So his posture was just great distress. He won't even look up, and he's pounding on his chest. He's so sorrowful. It's a physical expression of the inner state of his heart. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 18, the king bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Matthew 26, verse 39, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he dies. He's sweating great drops of blood in agony as he anticipates what's going to happen. He fell on his face and prayed. 1 Kings 8, verse 54, when Solomon is at the temple, dedicating the newly built temple to the Lord. Now, as Solomon finished offering all this prayer and plea to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, where he had knelt with hands outstretched toward heaven. Question 7. Is it appropriate to pray directly to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit, as well as to the Father? Yes. The resurrected and ascended Jesus is reigning as the ruler over the entire universe and is always willing to listen when we pray. The Holy Spirit is our comforter and guide and the one who enables us to live a Christian life. He also hears us when we pray. The Christian church has therefore produced a number of hymns of petition or praise which are specifically directed to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit. So, it is appropriate sometimes to pray directly to Jesus and address Him as Lord Jesus, and other times to speak directly to the Holy Spirit and ask the Spirit to fill us and mold us and shape us. Having said that, though, we should observe that in the Bible, it is most common still to pray directly to God the Father. Jesus said He did everything not just for His own honor, but to point to the Father, and the Holy Spirit points to Jesus and then to the Father. And so it's appropriate sometimes to pray directly to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit. But if you were to get into the habit of never speaking to the Father, then you would be kind of getting away from what Jesus and the Holy Spirit are directing us to in prayer. Pray primarily to the Father and then also to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit. When you pray to the Father, of course, you're always praying in the name of Jesus and as the Holy Spirit moves you to pray to the Father. Here are some examples of prayer to Jesus and related to prayer to the Holy Spirit from the Bible. John 14, verse 14, Jesus said, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So there you have an invitation. Just ask me. But Jesus also, later on in that very same passage, is asking the Father in my name. So asking me, asking the Father in my name, both are valid forms of prayer. When Stephen, the first man to die for his faith, after Jesus' resurrection, when Stephen was being stoned, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He was praying directly to his dear Lord Jesus, whom he saw as heaven was opened to him. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches our hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, the believers, according to the will of God. And so the Spirit within us is expressing prayer, and we may also be talking to the Spirit and asking Him to intercede with us and on our behalf to the Father. The Spirit intercedes, Jesus intercedes, and God the Father hears those prayers. Question 8. Does God hear and answer our prayers? Absolutely, absolutely He hears and answers all the prayers of those who pray according to His will. However, He does not always answer our prayers in the way that we personally would choose or desire. At times, His response may be no, and at other times, His response may be not now. Sometimes He may give us something much better than we had asked for, even though we may not understand immediately why it is better. But whatever His answer might be, we may be confident that our prayers are always heard. And we'll think about that a little more in later questions. Our prayers are always heard. Scripture references. 1 John 5, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened." Jesus said in John 15, verse 7, "If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace." That's what prayer is. It's going to the throne. And let's do that confidently, knowing that God hears and answers. Let's with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. James 5, verse 16 says plainly, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." What tremendous encouragements we have from the Word of God to pray. That prayer is powerful when it's offered from a heart that is seeking God. And prayer is powerful when it's offered to the living God who always hears His people. Question 9. Are there any specific examples in the Bible of God's answers to prayer? Yes, the Bible has many wonderful examples of God's answers to the prayers of His people. Women who were barren gave birth to children. Prisoners were set free. Battles were won. Protection was provided. Water and food were given. Wisdom was granted. Lives were changed. And many other blessings were experienced in answer to prayer. Some scripture references. Hannah was a person who was unable to have a child, and she longed for a child, and she prayed for a child, and God gave her a very special child named Samuel. And afterward, Hannah said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to Him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord." James 5, 17 and 18 says, "Elijah, that great prophet, was a man with a nature like ours, so he wasn't all that different from us. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit." Back in 1 Kings 18, we read the original stories of Elijah that James is later talking about. And Elijah calls for a showdown with the prophets of Baal, a false god. And he says, "You set up an altar with a bull sacrificed on it, I'll set up an altar with a bull sacrificed on it. You pray to your God, I'll pray to mine. And whoever's God answers, that God is the true God." And they howled and yowled and prayed all day and got no result. And then Elijah prayed to the real God, "Answer me, O Lord, so these people may know that you, O Lord, are God." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." So God answered Elijah's prayer for fire from heaven. And also, He answered his prayer to turn the hearts of those people back to the reality of God. In Luke 1, verse 3, there's the elderly priest who's been unable with his wife to have a baby. And the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah the priest and said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and he'll be great in the eyes of the Lord and bring you much joy and prepare the way of the Lord Jesus. This was the great John the Baptist, and he was given in answer to prayer from an old guy and his wife who had longed for a baby. Acts 4, verse 24 and 31 speaks of the apostles having been warned not to speak in Jesus' name anymore and facing many threats. What did they do? They went and they prayed. They lifted their voices together to God. And what did they pray for? What they prayed for was boldness. They said, Lord, consider their threats. And they didn't even tell God what to do about those threats. They said, Lord, consider their threats and give us boldness that we may keep on testifying to Jesus. And did God answer? Yes, he did. When they had prayed, the place where they gathered was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the Word of God with boldness. And many of us who are preachers of the gospel today, we need to pray that same prayer and get those same results. Filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking the Word of God with boldness. For some of you, if you've already done some preaching or some evangelism, you may say, oh, I wish more were happening. Well, don't just spend more time trying to have a more clever sermon or a more clever way of doing things. Pray to the Lord for that holy boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord answers such prayers. Here's a prayer for deliverance. In Acts chapter 12, Peter was locked in prison by Herod and was awaiting execution. Herod had already killed the apostle James, and now he was after Peter. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. And while they're praying, an angel of the Lord stood next to Peter, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands, and the doors to the jail opened, and the outer gate opened, and the angel brought Peter out into the street. And Peter thought he was dreaming the whole time, till he got out into the cool evening air, and he thought, this really happened. And he went to the place where they have in the prayer meeting, and they didn't believe it was him. The fact of the matter is, sometimes we pray and we don't have very much faith at all. And even then, God might hear our prayer and give an answer that we didn't anticipate. God doesn't always give us what we ask for. Remember, James died, and I'll bet they had a prayer meeting for him too. And I bet they had more faith at the prayer meeting for James than they had at the prayer meeting for the release of Peter. And yet, for reasons of God's own wisdom, he allowed James to die for the faith, and at least then he released Peter, and Peter later died for his faith too. So God answers our prayers, sometimes in amazing ways, some ways that we can hardly believe when it happens, but not always just to make life comfortable for us. But prayer is powerful. It's effective. Question 10. Are there any things that might cause God not to answer our prayers in the way we desire? Yes. Though God is merciful and gracious, there are certain conditions which must usually be met before our prayers will be answered. Among them are humility, sincerity, obedience, faith, right motives, commitment, and a forgiving spirit. If these and other conditions are not met, our prayers might not be answered in the way we desire. Scripture references. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14 says, notice that word if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, if they do those things, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Psalm 66, verse 18, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. James 4, verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So they're praying and they're asking for stuff from God, but they're asking out of greed and just, God, help me to be my own selfish pig and give me everything I want and hurry up and do it. That was basically the attitude that underlay some of their prayers. And James says, so God's not answering. He's not giving you what you ask. Jeremiah 29, then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. There are many cases of half-hearted prayers or a divided heart where we love God and we love money, and God just might wait a while to answer our prayers or say no to our prayers until our hearts get more focused on Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." So we need to pray in faith and in trust that God is real and that He's rewarding. Mark 11, verse 25, "And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." If you go to God for forgiveness, but you will not forgive others, then don't expect to receive God's blessing and assurance and forgiveness. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." If you're going to ask for forgiveness, you better be ready to give forgiveness, and unforgiveness in your life may block God's answers to prayer. The Apostle Peter, writing in the New Testament, tells husbands, now you've got to be considerate as you live with your wives, and you've got to treat your wife well so that nothing may hinder your prayers. If you're not considerate and kind to your wife, don't wonder why the Heavenly Father is not being considerate and kind with you by answering your prayers. That's what Peter's saying. Be considerate as you live with your wives, treat her well, and then that'll get something out of the way that might otherwise block your prayers. So there are things that are just amiss in our life that may hinder our prayers from getting through, or that may cause God to say, "I'm not going to answer or give you a good hearing just yet until you deal with that." Now, question 11, does this mean that our prayers will not be answered? You know, that's kind of a discouraging answer if you say, well, you've got to do this and this, you've got to be sincere, you've got to be forgiving, you've got to be this, you've got to be that, and only then will God answer your prayers. You say, well, does this mean our prayers won't be answered unless we're totally free from sin and personal weaknesses? No one is totally free from sin or personal weaknesses. If we repent and ask for forgiveness, we will be restored to a right relationship with God. However, if we deliberately continue to sin without repentance or genuine sorrow for our sins, God will definitely be displeased with us, and our prayers might not be answered. Proverbs 28, verse 13, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." The words of David in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you." Psalm 32, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." He's not willing to admit to God that he's been sinful. He's not willing to deal with the issues in his own life. And the longer he refuses to deal with the issues, the more he withers away inside, the more he senses that his prayers just aren't getting through. And then he says, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found." Question 12. Are there any other reasons besides those referred to above, which are dealing with things that might be wrong with us? Are there any other reasons why God might not grant us what we ask for? Yes, God might not grant what we ask for if our desires or requests are not in accord with His own will or purposes. God had a different purpose for James than he had for Peter. His purpose for James was that James would glorify Jesus by dying for his faith. God's purpose for Peter on that occasion was that he would glorify God by being miraculously rescued from the clutches of Herod. And so God may have different purposes, and we don't always know those in advance when we're praying. But we offer our prayers to God and then realize that sometimes, even if we're not praying sinfully, or even if there's nothing particularly wrong with us or our prayers, God might have a purpose in mind that we weren't aware of. And why is that? Well, one big reason is God is so much greater. His mind and His plans are so much beyond what we can grasp. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Even Jesus himself didn't always get what he asked for. Matthew 26, verse 39, Jesus prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So Jesus' desire was that he not have to suffer so terribly, but at the same time, he had an even greater and deeper desire to do whatever his Father called upon him to do. And so we can come to God with our prayers, expressing our desires to him, and at the same time realizing that God's will might have something planned that's different from what we would naturally desire. And then in such cases we say, "But Lord, now that I've told you my desire, please carry out your will." Paul wrote to the people in Rome, his fellow believers there, "You are always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles." Paul's chomping at the bit. He's eager to go. He wants to get to Rome. It's the capital of the empire, after all, and he's a missionary. And he wants to meet the believers there and then preach to other people there. But he's prayed about it. He's tried. And so far, at the point he's writing this letter, he hasn't been able to get there. God hasn't yet granted that request. Oh, and by the way, when Paul finally does get his request, he gets to go in chains as a prisoner. So, for a while, he's praying to go to Rome, and he can't go. And when he finally does get that great desire of his to go to Rome, he doesn't go in exactly the way most of us would like to go. So, there are prayers where God's purposes overrule our wishes. Paul experienced this on another occasion. He had some tremendous revelations from God of the glories of heaven, of the wonders of Jesus. And God knew Paul was still not a perfect man, and so to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, says Paul, a thorn was given me in the flesh. We don't know exactly what it was, but it was something painful and troubling. A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger from Satan, to harass me, to keep me from becoming too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Initially, when we pray, we say, "Lord, I could serve you so much better if I was healthy, if I got rid of this illness. I could serve you so much better if I didn't have this chronic temptation that I have to keep fighting. I wish it was just gone." And God may say, "Keep struggling with that illness. Keep battling that temptation. I'm not removing the temptation completely. I'm just going to leave it there. I know it's a messenger from Satan. I know you hate it. It's there. You're going to have to depend on me. You're just going to have to face it. You're weak. But here's the good news. My power is made perfect in weakness." Again, prayer is a marvelous thing. Sometimes we get the exact thing we pray for. Other times, God doesn't give us what we asked for, but he's still God, and he's still sufficient, and his grace is there, and his power rests upon us. Question 13. Is prayer primarily a matter of asking God for things we want or need? No. Prayer does include requests or petitions, but it also involves praise, confession, and thanksgiving. If the only time we pray is when we want or need something from God for ourselves or others, we do not have the kind of fellowship with God that he wants us to have. So yes, it's important to be asking God for the various things we need, but if that's all there is to our prayer life, then we've got a problem. What kind of relationship is it when you know somebody else and the only time they ever talk to you is when they need something from you or want something from you? Their relationship is totally based on what they can get out of you, and their conversation is basically, "Gimme, gimme, 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 gimme." Now, is that the kind of relationship you want? No. And that's not the relationship God wants with us. Yes, he's generous. Yes, he loves to have us ask him for things and to depend on him, but if all we're in it for is for the goodies and not for God himself, then we're missing out on many important aspects of prayer. One key part of prayer, besides just asking, is confession. Admitting our sins. Ezra 9, verse 6, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has mounted up to the heavens. Daniel 9, 3 through 5, I, Daniel, turn my face to the Lord God, seeking Him by prayer and pleas for mercy, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. Just one thing I'd point out here, Ezra and Daniel were actually among the holiest of all their people. And yet they were pouring out the confessions of guilt on behalf of the people and also on their own behalf. They identified themselves as sinners. And so if even great and holy people in many respects, such as Ezra and Daniel, were pouring out confessions of sin to God, then surely you and I need to make confession of sin and of our own guilt and need for forgiveness an important part of our prayers. Scripture references about thanksgiving, and there are too many to count. Here are just a few. Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is asking. Requests are asking, but with thanksgiving. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So, yeah, request away, ask away, but remember to give thanks for all the good answers God gives. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then the Psalms are full of calls to thanksgiving and worship. Psalm 105, verse 4 is one example. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. I believe that's Psalm 100, verse 4. And then Psalms of praise. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Psalm 95. Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And there are many other psalms. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Make His praise glorious. Worship is really why we exist. There are many other things that God does and that prayer involves, but just adoring God, being awestruck at God, reveling in Him, enjoying Him. This is the very heart of prayer. Question 14. Is it better to pray alone or to pray with others? It is important for us to pray frequently when we are alone with God. However, it's also important for us to pray frequently with others. The Bible has many examples of both individual prayers and the prayers of larger groups of people who join their voices and hearts together in bringing their praise and petitions to the Lord. Scripture references, again, the words of Jesus, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. It is vital to have personal time set apart with just you and the Lord. But if you were to take those words of Jesus as indicating that we should never pray with others or while others are listening, then we'd be drawing a wrong conclusion. If we're praying only in order to be heard by others, then we've got a problem. But to be praying with others as we join our hearts together in prayer to God, that is very valuable. So, personal prayer is important, but so is praying together. Matthew 18, 19 and 20, Jesus says, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Jesus wants us to gather together and to pray in His name. Acts 1, verse 14 says that Jesus' disciples were all in one accord devoting themselves to prayer. And again, when Peter was in prison, you see the whole church had gathered together to pray for Peter. So there is a valuable, precious place for personal prayer just between you and the Lord. There are also times when you get together with fellow Christians to offer prayers and to delight in God and to seek His face together. And many other examples. Sometimes we read in the Bible where the whole nation would be called to prayer and repentance and to ask for help. The whole church would have special times of prayer. The examples are too many to mention. We have to have the full balance of Scripture. Personal prayer and community prayer. Question 15, is it desirable for us to fast when we pray? Well, many people fasted in Bible times, and many still do so today. Fasting is good if it helps us focus our hearts and minds on God, and if it is a genuine sign of reverence, sincerity, and humility before God. We should not fast, however, in order to try to earn favor with God. God may reward our prayer and fasting, but He grants us this blessing because of His own mercy and grace, and not on the basis of our merits. We're not piling up points with God by fasting, and then the more we fast, the more God owes it to us to answer our prayers. Far from it. The Pharisees would fast twice a week, and Jesus said their fasting was a waste because they were working in their own righteousness and they were trying to impress God and trying to impress others. The purpose of fasting is to wean yourself away from the things of the world for a bit, to wean yourself away from some of your own appetites a bit so that you can concentrate more and focus your desire more fully on God. It is not to earn things from God, but to tune yourself better so that you can pray more earnestly and more in tune with the mind of God. Scripture references of some fasting. Ezra 8:21-23. Ezra proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from Him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. So we fasted and implored our God for this, and He listened to our entreaty. So fasting and prayer together for a safe journey. It was going to be a long one with lots of women and children, with lots of dangerous bandits and other troubles that could come upon them. They prayed, and God answered. Nehemiah 1:4 has heard that Jerusalem is in a state of disrepair, that the city of God has its walls burned down, and that nobody's doing anything about it. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And he kept fasting and praying, and finally God gave him opportunity with the emperor of Persia, and Nehemiah was able to go back and have his prayers answered and really do something about it to rebuild the city of God. Daniel 9:3, I, Daniel, turned my face to the Lord God, seeking Him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. This is when Daniel was especially pouring out his heart because of the sins of the people and confessing his own sins, and so he was fasting to show his genuine sorrow. Luke 2:37 speaks of that very old lady, Anna, a prophetess who loved the Lord and was privileged to see the baby Jesus. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. So she combined her prayers with fasting. Acts 14:23, when they, Paul and Barnabas, had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. If you'd backtrack a little bit in the book of Acts, you'll find that the people in the city of Antioch were praying and fasting when Paul and Barnabas were sent out to be missionaries in the first place. And so you find that fasting plays a very important role at key points in God's plans. And here, where they're appointing elders, they want to commend them to God's care with prayer, but also with fasting. So fasting is very valuable. It's very frequent throughout the Bible. It can be misused, but just because something can be misused doesn't mean, therefore, I'm never going to use it. I know some believers who very seldom or never fast and haven't taken seriously what the Bible says about it. I urge you to take seriously what the Bible says about fasting as an aid to prayer and then use it rightly without misusing it. Question 16. Does God give us only those things we ask for in prayer? No, God often grants us far more than we ask, much more than we deserve, and at times even more than we can imagine. Besides, sometimes we're too sick, too tired, or too confused to know what to ask for. Sometimes all we can do is groan and just mutter a prayer and hardly know what we're saying, and God comes through with far more than we could even bring to mind. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. So when you pray, don't say, well, maybe God can do a little bit of what I ask. No, God can do all you ask. God can do more than all you ask. God can do far more abundantly than all we ask. And He can even do more and far more than all we can think or even imagine. And so prayer, the only limit on prayer is God's wisdom and will, not any limit on God's power. In 1 Kings 3:12-13, God said to Solomon, I now do according to your word. I give you also what you have not asked. God said to Solomon, I'll give you whatever you ask for. And Solomon said, well, you know, I'm young, and I'm taking over as king from a great and wise king, my father David. I'm not up to the job. And this is such a great people you've given me. Please, Lord, give me wisdom so I'll know how to rule well. And how did God answer that prayer? He said, I will give you wisdom like no ruler has ever had. And I'll also give you those things you didn't ask for, wealth and power and all those other things that weren't even a part of your request. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, food and clothes and everything else, will be added to you. If you keep your prayers focused on what God wants for you, don't be surprised if God throws in a whole lot of fringe benefits along with it. Malachi 3, verse 10. Put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. God just throws open the windows of heaven and pours out blessings more than we thought of, more than we imagined. That's what God wants us to know. And that's how we need to come to Him in prayer. Knowing that, yeah, there's going to be times when we ask for things that He doesn't give us. But there are going to be many times when He gives us things we didn't ask for that turn out to be so honoring to Him and such a blessing to us that our hearts are just flooded with joy. Question 17. What is meant by the Lord's Prayer? That is the prayer which Jesus taught His disciples when they came to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And the prayer from Matthew 6 goes like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And very often when that prayer is prayed, we add, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.